My media debut was not on radio. It occurred in the early 50s in the infant medium of television. T-Barvey Ranch was a children's birthday show in Louisville, and there were others like it in other towns.
It's time for the Ranger Andy Show.
My name is Ranger Andy, and I've traveled all around.
Hello, howdy do. We're mighty happy to welcome you. Hi there.
Salty, good morning, Uncle Al.
Wow,
we're going to have a lot of fun today. And, oh, it's a beautiful day today in Cincinnati.
Tomorrow, we'll have a young lady up in Monroe, Wisconsin, not too far away, who lives on a dairy farm.
Nearly every television market across the country had locally produced children's programs, from Flippy the Clown in New Haven, Connecticut, to Happy Herb in Billings, Montana. Tim Hollis has documented about 1,400 local children's shows in a new book called Hey There, Boys and Girls. He says the formula for the shows was simple. Take a local TV personality, some goofy costumes, some puppets, and cartoons.
There were very few programs that were able to get by without using cartoons or any sort of film features. It was easier to buy a cartoon package and then dress up a station announcer as a sea captain to host Popeye, or maybe a clown to host Bugs Bunny. Any number of variations.
The SS Popeye sails again with a full cargo of cartoon fun and your pals Cookie and the Captain.
My name is Buckskin Bill Black, and the name of this television program is Storyland.
And now here she is, the girl who makes the scene every week on Kitty Agogo, Pandora!
Anyone who could be pressed into service to do those kinds of programs usually did. Sometimes it was the weatherman. Sometimes it would even be one of the news anchors.
How television has changed. You used to have anchormen playing clowns. Now you hire clowns to play anchormen.
That's a good point. We have a fellow down here in Birmingham who was a news anchor for years and years, Joe Langston, and he hosted the Saturday morning birthday program. He said television was a lot more fun in those days when they would let the news anchors do different things like that.
Let them? They required them in many cases.
Well, that's true. I use the word let because they won't even allow a news anchor to do the commercials now, so he thinks it was more fun when they could do that.
Boys and girls, did everybody here get some Dr. Pepper today?
Yeah!
These are lemon cookies. Would y'all like one?
Yeah!
Yeah, I thought you would. I thought you wouldn't. We're going to have a 7-Up to go with these, too. That's just right, 7-Up and Marsh cookies.
One bite and you'll agree that this wild cherry shortcake good humor is red, white, and wonderful. Okay, take a good big bite out of it. Isn't he a lucky stiff?
Yeah.
They had to do a lot of local production because the networks didn't cover your broadcast day.
That's right. And I think that's one thing that was lost. Not only the children's programs, but there were also local cooking shows, local country music shows. It seems like all of those programs gave people something to identify with in their own city. Something you couldn't do with, say, Captain Kangaroo or Howdy Doody. As great as those programs were, kids knew that they were never going to run into Captain Kangaroo on the street, but they might run into Joe Langston. So I think that was a big part of their appeal.
Hi, crew. Captain Love reporting for duty at 4:30 as usual on this beautiful Christmas day. I don't have any crew members here to fire up the time converter for me, so maybe I'll have to do it all by myself.
I'll go fire it up.
What'd you say, sir?
I'll fire it up.
You'll fire it up?
Yeah.
The idea of children on live television in the days before videotape.
There are a lot of stories about things that happened with kids. We had a fellow here in Birmingham, Cousin Cliff Holman. Cliff had a sponsor, a fast food chain called Jack's Hamburgers. And on one program, Cliff announced that every kid in the audience was going to get a free coupon for a Jack's hamburger, and this one little kid blurted out, "My mother won't let me eat those things." And Cliff had to ad lib and say, "Well, you know, 9 out of 10 people like them."
So, we've got the
like
test.
I said, he was never at a loss for words.
There were also franchised programs. Bozo, Romper Room.
Right, Bozo and Romper Room were the two big franchises, of course, which means that they were owned by a national entity, but local stations would pay the fee and then produce it with their own talent. The estimate is there may have been about 200 different Bozo the Clowns at one time.
Who's your favorite clown?
Hey, that's me!
And now, here
Here's Bozo.
These programs died for a couple of reasons. One being cheaper material came along.
That's right. In the late 60s, a lot of stations found out that they could get syndicated reruns of programs like I Love Lucy or Gilligan's Island, and they could run those in the children's time slot and have just as many viewers as they would with a locally produced program. And then the second thing that happened came about because some parents activist groups got together and they put enough pressure on the National Association of Broadcasters that they passed a new ruling that the hosts could no longer do their own commercials. They couldn't mention the sponsor. They couldn't even do a lead-in to the commercial. And when that happened, most of the sponsors dropped out because they wanted that identification with the host.
No, I'm serious. This is really the last show here of Superhost on Channel 43. And I just packing up some old... here's an old cape we had left over from an old war movie type thing.
Some of them are just completely lost to history, never on videotape.
That's right. Of course, when videotape came in, the stations usually used it for a lot more important things than the children's program, and when they would record a children's program, they would reuse the tape. They would erase it as soon as possible. There are kinescopes of some of these shows, but for a lot of the programs, not even still photographs exist. They're just... they exist only in people's memories. I made the statement in the book that some of them are literally the ghosts of television's past. People can testify that they saw them, but no one can prove it.
Tim Hollis, his new book is titled, Hey There, Boys and Girls,